Chapter 10. Librarium Segrestia. Ox Angelicum. Baal. Confessor Zinn entered the ostensorio with the swagger of a triumphant king. He was flanked by a column of priests and subordinates, all wearing white lead on their faces and cradling a dazzling collection of holy relics. The priests in the front lines waved glinting censers, shrouding those behind in scented fumes, and by the time Zinn emerged, there was so much smoke that he seemed to be levitating up from the underworld. He was carried on an enormous sedan chair that was gilded and polished to such a sheen it blazed, flashing in the light of the myriad candles lining the procession. Above his head teetered a dazzling panoply of banners and standards, all portraying the same angelic, sword-wielding figure. Some of the priests struggled beneath the weight of naked flagellants, mounted on long, wooden stakes, their emaciated limbs nailed to the coarse bark, decorating the white faces of those below with bright, blooming flowers of blood. As they bled, the flagellants rang bells and clanged cymbals, creating a dreadful, clattering din. Gathered ahead of this gaudy procession, in the centre of the devastated hall, was a far more sombre group. Mephiston was waiting patiently before the brass monstrance, as cool and inert as the shattered busts beneath his feet. He looked immaculate, his intricately wrought battle plate polished to a dull sheen, and his hands resting on the hilt of Vitaros, whose blade was dark and indolent, sensing no chance of bloodshed. Mephiston was flanked on one side by his equerry, the proud epistolary Racilus, and on the other side by the eager-looking lexicanium Antros. Behind the three librarians were two squads of blood angels, battle brothers of the fourth company, assembled in perfect, motionless formation behind Captain Vitrinus. Behind the tactical marines there was a tech marine, his armour so laden with augmetics and the arcane machinery of the Adeptus Mechanicus that he looked like a mechanised beetle, looming in the shadows. His helmet was almost entirely obscured by measuring instruments, and the rest of his armour was cluttered with massive servo claws and drill bits as thick as a mortal man's waist. Finally, there was a sanguinary priest, armed with an ornate chainsword and the sinister-looking medical instruments that marked him out as the keeper of his chapter's gene seed. All of the Space Marines were dressed for war, wearing full battle plate and cradling a fearsome array of weaponry. There was also a mortal in their chamber, Prester Coath, whose emaciated, unconscious body was fastened to the rim of the Carpus Monstrance by thick metal chains. He was naked, and his body had been painted with a complex network of runes and symbols. Several bundles of cabling trailed from his skull, disappearing into the bowl of the monstrance. As Confessor Zinn made his brash, ostentatious approach, Antros could not help but notice the irony of the scene. For all Zinn's finery and pomp, he failed to match the silent authority of the chief librarian. Mephiston's power bled out of him, reaching into the souls of even the most rabid supplicants, so that even as they chanted their catechisms, they were straining to see the face of the giant waiting to greet them. The parade came to a halt near the monstrance, and Zinn's servants carried his sedan chair across the rubble, scattering strips of scented parchment across the stones as they went. They helped Zinn from his seat, and the corpulent priest knelt, attempting to genuflect before the chief librarian. He struggled, gasping, as his paunch robbed him of breath, until his servants rushed to assist him. Then he rose, his face paint glistening with sweat, and smiled with forced geniality.
"Chief librarian," he said, "to meet you in the flesh is more than I ever dreamed possible. Your name has become a beacon of hope throughout the entire Cronian sector, and you can scarcely grasp how great an honour you do me by granting this audience. I would never..."
There was a clattering sound somewhere in the darkness as a rock dropped to the floor. Zinn faltered and stared into the shadows.
"You have nothing to fear, priest," said Epistolary Racilus,
distaste dripping from his aristocratic features. He raised his staff slightly, and the shadows withdrew, revealing the towering sentries arranged around the walls of the ostensorio. Librarians, watching the ruins in a silent vigil, the psychic hoods of their battleplate shimmering in readiness. Rasilus lowered his staff, allowing the shadows to return. Zin attempted another forced smile, but he was clearly terrified. Silence filled the chamber, broken only by the crackling of flames from overhead. The vast hall was lit by metal braziers, all of them borne on anti-grav platforms, designed to resemble zodiacal beasts. Bronze dragons and copper snakes circled above the space marines, throwing animated shadows across Mephiston's motionless face, giving the illusion that he was howling or snarling.
"My lord," said Zin after a few minutes, looking from one space marine to another. "Masters of the Librarium, have you read the missives we sent? Have you grasped the crucial role you are to play in the walls of Sanctitude? All our observances have shown that only the chief librarian of the Blooded Host can be our guide, that only you can lead us to our lost brother, Arch-Cardinal Dravus, so that my brethren and I will be able to lift the terrible malediction that has befallen our most sacred world. Your face has haunted the dreams and waking dreams of every priest who has set foot on Divinus Prime. You are the Astra Angelus that was foretold in the Book of Subjection, my lord. I have not slept, nor eaten for days. So great is my excitement at the thought of meeting you."
Rasilus raised an eyebrow at the words, "nor eaten," but remained silent. Mephiston nodded at the grand procession arrayed behind Zin.
"In honour of the old accords between this chapter and the Ecclesiarchy, you may accompany us, but your brethren will not be required."
Zin looked horrified.
"Company?"
He was about to protest when he caught the warning in Rasilus's eyes. He nodded meekly and allowed his entourage to be escorted from the hall. There were so many of them that it took nearly 10 minutes for them to shuffle out, moving with far less theatricality than when they arrived. Nobody spoke as this exodus took place, but Zin mouthed a few prayers as he found himself quite alone with the Blood Angels. Mephiston nodded, and Antros stepped forwards. Since the revelations in the Chemic Spheres, Antros had been wrestling with a troubling question. Could Mephiston be right about him? Was he destined to either save or damn the chief librarian? The idea of such a responsibility horrified him, but he could not rid himself of visions. Visions of a peeled face, and of Mephiston, surrounded by butchered priests. He sensed Rasilus glaring at him and took a deep breath, determined to perform his role well, whatever doubts he might have about the future. He unrolled the scroll prepared for him by Scholius Gore and began to read from the handwritten document, his amplified voice booming through his helmet. "Lord Mephiston, Chief Librarian of the Blooded Host, Consul Etheric to Commander Dante, Interlocutor of the Sacred Lineaments, Warden of the Accursed, Master of the Quorum Empiric, Keeper of the 15th Basilica, and Harbinger Vindicta, who is beloved by the God Emperor and who regards everyone with fathomless insight, has made it known to all that, from this moment on, in all matters pursuant to the following interdict..." As Antros's words rang out through the shadows, Confessor Zin frowned, straining to catch every clause and subclause of the long, labyrinthine edict. Several times he shook his head, bewildered by the language, and held up a hand for a pause, but Antros simply continued with increasingly more strident language, until he reached the end of the document and held it out towards the priest. As he presented it, a pair of cherubs fluttered down from the broken vaults. Their faces were hidden behind expressionless, ivory masks, and they both wore glittering golden halos. They took the vellum, intoned some unintelligible oaths, and gave it to Zin. Zin peered at the tiny script in confusion, unsure what was expected of him. Then the cherubs fluttered away into the gloom, taking the edict with them. Epistolary Racilus nodded to Antros, and they turned to face the monstrance, raising their staffs and resting the metal heads on the lip of the urn-like relic. They began to walk in a slow circle, whispering what seemed to be a random assortment of vowel sounds. Zin gasped, making the sign of the Aquila. At a curt nod from Captain Vitrinus, one of the tactical marines broke ranks and gripped Zin by the arm, hauling him up the cracked marble steps of the dais. The Blood Angel said nothing as he deposited him at the edge of the platform, not far from the huge chalice, and turned to look back at the scene unfolding before them. Zin tried to move back down the steps, but the Battle Brother's grip was unyielding. Pale fire coursed along the librarian's staffs, igniting the rim of the monstrance and causing the filigreed metal to flicker and glow. They continued circling, and, as the tips of their staffs dragged along the rim, they created a haunting, metallic drone that grew louder with every step they took. The Battle Brothers of the Fourth Company fanned out around the edge of the dais, and, to Zin's obvious dismay, they readied their weapons. The droning sound became so loud that Zin clamped his hands over his ears, yelling unheard complaints as the vibration shook his portly body.
"I am the steel in the blade," said Mephiston. He spoke gently, but his voice rumbled through the chamber with seismic force, cracking some of the broken masonry.
Mephiston raised Vitaris, and, as he did so, needles of red fire sliced from the darkness. Several of the librarians dotted around the edges of the great hall had raised their staffs and were now linked to the chief librarian by strands of lambent power. The lines of psychic energy emanating from their staffs were magnified by Vitaris and united into a single column of fire, which Mephiston directed at the prone form of Prester Coath. The blast slammed into the man, and his flesh lit up as though covered in thousands of embers. He remained slumped and oblivious, showing no sign of pain, or even awareness of the ritual he was powering. Zin was howling in panic now, but his words were lost in the din.
"I am the blood in the heart," said Mephiston.
Again his soft tones rocked the chamber. Lines of fire lanced out of the shadows, revealing more librarians. Mephiston channeled this new influx of power into Prester Coath, and the unconscious priest burned so brightly that Zin had to shield his eyes.
"I am the heat of the flame," said Mephiston.
He held his hand aloft, and, as more librarians joined their force to his, the chief librarian's palm began to burn with psychic flame. Crimson runes ignited in the center of his hand, shimmering like newly forged metal. The chamber shook with even more force as a column of blood tore from Prester Coath's chest and slammed into the blazing runes on Mephiston's hand.
"I am the blood of Sanguinius," said Mephiston,
and the Ostensorio vanished.